Well, welcome to Conversations. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, it's almost Valentine's Day.
It is. And am I your Valentine?
You are. You are. You are definitely my lifetime Valentine. But I have some grandson Valentines and some son Valentines as well. Sorry, babe.
Well, you know, you are definitely my lifetime Valentine. I'm so glad I finally have granddaughters.
Yep, and a daughter.
But anyway, my sons were always my Valentines too. But hey, it's a great day to be able to celebrate love, and that's what we want to talk about. You know, it's so important that we love one another because Jesus said, they will know that you're my true followers by your love one for another. And, you know, I think for me, Lisa, for years, I didn't understand really that love, a big aspect of love is serving. And I just think it'd be wonderful if we talked about that today in regard to marriage, in regard to relationships, healthy relationships, is talk about serving. I mean, what comes to mind when you hear the word serving?
Well, you know, serving, acts of service is one of my love languages.
Right.
So what comes to mind when I think of serving is different than what comes to your mind when you think of serving.
And it's like we speak two different languages when it comes to serving.
Really hard for me not to laugh about this. But I will say, you know, one of the things I want to, for the women to hear out there is a lot of times they have an expectation of that their serving is saying to their husband, I love you, when really the husband is like, that's not how I'm hearing I love you. You know, the whole love language things is, you know, for me, it's quality time and acts of service. And for you, it's words of affirmation and physical touch. And so sometimes women will end up being kind of martyrs. And being a martyr is not necessarily serving your relationship well, because it builds up a little bit of resentment. And I remember when we were first married, I was down on the floor and I was folding laundry and you're like, hey, do you want to go golfing with me? And I looked at you and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm stuck here doing laundry. And what I really wanted you to say was, oh my gosh, I see all this laundry. Let me get down on the floor, fold it with you so you can go golfing with me. But you're like, okay, bye.
So, and you know what? I've grown in love.
No, you would. No,
and
I said,
today
first
I do
married.
My own laundry and I fold my own clothes because
yes.
I know you're such a busy lady serving the body of Christ that
I
try to,
too.
I try to help
particular.
Out as much as possible. It's
yes.
really important.
Yeah. You're
no,
amazing.
I mean, no,
we
seriously,
both have grown.
I was thinking about this morning, Lisa, when I first became a Christian, I didn't understand this. And that's why this is such a big subject for me.
Yeah.
Because as I have matured in the Lord, I've realized that love is really about serving. And I don't think there's a greater example than when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Now, don't turn us off. Because
we're not going to do a foot washing
right here.
We're not doing it.
No, to be honest with you, when I got saved back in the late 70s, early 80s, it was the big thing. I mean, every Bible study, they had a basin and they were washing people's feet, and I wanted out so bad. I hated it. And
the
later,
combination of foot washing and pantyhose were very uncomfortable for women.
Oh yeah, sure. But you know, later I discovered. My actual dislike of it was actually justifiable when I really understood what was going on. And I know there's a lot of people that are listening to us right now that really don't understand, why did Jesus actually wash these guys' feet? It wasn't to get us to do things that make us all uncomfortable. It was actually, in the day, a very real illustration of how to love somebody by serving. Most wealthy people in those days had anywhere from 20 to 30 household servants. And Jesus is in this large upper room. I mean, you think about it, it's totally separate from the other living quarters, and he's in this room that's owned by this guy. So he's obviously got probably 20, 30 servants running around his household. You know, some servants would take care of the farms, the fields, the gardens, the kitchen. Some would take care of the household, the laundry, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I don't even know what you could do with 20 servants. That's a lot of servants.
Well, you know, Lisa, if you remember, we actually saw homes, well, maybe you didn't, in Indonesia that was like that, where I remember 15 servants. But to get back to the point, the lowest of all the servants, the one that had the bottom job, was the person who washed the people's feet when they came into the house. And if we just think about it, they didn't have Nike tennis shoes. Their streets had horses. Their streets had animals on them, so
they dumped their stuff.
They
didn't
go to they didn't have outhouses for the animals. So people they've got some pretty dirty feet coming into homes, and that lowest servant, if the family members came in or guests came in, that was their job, and so it was always given to the very very lowest. And what Jesus was saying is, you call me Lord and Master, and he said you do rightly, but he said I've given you an illustration that the way we serve, the way we lead in the kingdom of God, is by washing your feet. And that illustrated to me is what Jesus was saying is, I am your number one servant. I'm making myself the lowest. And that's why God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every other name, because he humbled himself.
And he wants us to model that. He gave us an example to follow. In
right.
That. Right.
And I think where a disconnect occurred with you and I was, well, why aren't you helping me in the kitchen? Why aren't you helping me here? When in reality, sometimes I was saying, you know what? I got to make sure our finances are in line. I don't want to be in trouble financially. I don't want bill collectors coming to our house. And, you know, I remember looking at you one day and saying, well, Jesus had the disciples prepare the upper room. He didn't do that, but yet he was serving in other ways. And so I think one of the keys is always recognizing how your spouse serves and how you can serve best your spouse. And I think, you know, I made this statement to friends of mine that were a pastor one day. I said, when you marry somebody, you basically sign up to be their number one servant the rest of their life. And I think if we all approach marriage that way, I think our marriages would be much healthier.
I think it's a great conversation to actually have with one another and say, how can I serve you? How can I serve you? And not just say, well, I'm serving you this way. Well, I'm serving you this way. I think that the conversation is, how can I serve you? Because maybe in one season, serving in that way looks different than what your spouse needs in another season.
That's so good.
So I think that's a conversation that, you know, couples should have, and so that nobody feels like they're doing too much and another person's doing too little, but that conversation can happen between them. You know, Philippians 2 verses 3 through 5, and we're going to read it in the New King James Version, says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And a lot of times people will serve to actually forward their own interest. Like, I want to be seen so they can be promoted, or look at me,
that's
the
good
martyr thing, the different things like that. And so we've got to say, hey, we're gonna do this not for our own interest, but for the interests of others. I also think that, you know, I do remember having that conversation with you where we would all be cleaning the kitchen and you would be gone and we'd be like, where's dad? The boys would be like, where's dad? And you'd be in there paying bills and making sure different things were being done. And so we had to highlight that to the boys, that was a way that you served, because they weren't seeing you active in that way. And so every couple has different strengths. And I think actually those strengths are given to us to serve one another. You know, so if a couple has a strength with finances, maybe the wife is stronger in the finances, she should do the bills. If the husband's stronger in the finances, he should do the bills. If the husband's a better guy in the kitchen than the wife, he should do the cooking. Whatever it is, you find out your strengths. You know, if there was areas of study for your kids where you know you can't help them with their homework, then the husband can help, or the wife can help if it's an area of her strength. But at the end of the day, we don't just want to serve. We want to have a heart attitude of the servant. We want to live on behalf of other people.
Well, and another thing, I had to teach our sons this. You know, if they left a dish out on the counter, right, and they ate their lunch and just left the dish, I said, do you realize that you have just said, I'm expecting my brothers or my mom and dad to pick this up? So I said, you have just done the opposite of serving your family. And I think that's the thing that sometimes people need to realize is, you know, by neglect, we end up putting a workload on other people. So if we want to be a servant to them, we want to say, oh, I'm going to take care of this so that I'm not expecting somebody else to take care of it. But just little things like this, I remember reading just in the Song of Psalm the other day, Song of Solomon, that the little foxes are what spoil the vine. And it's these little things, I think, that create tension to where now things that shouldn't cause problems in homes, tension in homes, ends up becoming greater because of the little things that have built up.
Magnifies it.
Right. And so I just think it's really important that you take a good hard look at how you serve your family, how you serve your spouse, how you serve your family. So in reality, what that means is the husband becomes if he's the head of the home, he's the chief servant. That's what Jesus was saying. I'm the head of the church. I'm making myself the chief servant. And so I just think that our marriages would really exemplify to the world that God is in our midst when we love one another well. You know, here's Ephesians 5:28, Lisa. It says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, the word ought in the Vine's dictionary means it is necessary or one must. And it carries the meaning. The reason Paul puts this word ought in, it's really not captured in the English, is Paul is saying that a husband should love his wife even if he doesn't feel like it.
Hey, we birth babies for you. You definitely should love us even if you don't feel like it. The husband should be like, all right, let me help her.
But there's a principle here that he's communicating that I love. Tim Keller really helped me with this. The Germans, they did acts of dislike to the Jews back in the late 1930s. And their acts kept getting worse and worse and worse. And the more they kept mistreating, like if first of all, they kind of isolate him. Then secondly, they'd put a Star of David on him. Then they'd put him in the slums. And then they put him in the concentration. And the more that they did acts of hatred, the more they actually felt the emotions of hatred towards mm-hmm. them. Well, it's the same thing is true. You may feel like I've got no emotion of love towards my wife today. That doesn't matter. Love wasn't an emotion. It wasn't a feeling. It was a choice. So if you start actions of service towards your wife, all of a sudden the feeling starts to come. So the reverse is true, and this is what Paul is saying. So God's saying, I don't want your love. God's not saying, I want your love emotionalist. God is very emotional, but God is saying, don't let the emotions be what determines your love. So if
you're saying your actions will lead your emotions instead of your emotions leading.
Your actions will develop your emotions is basically what it's so important to understand that.
So John makes the most amazing shake for me every single morning. If he would actually sell the recipe, I don't even know. We could just retire. But he does this thing. It's flax milk, hemp milk, walnuts, almonds, coconut.
I'm going to give away my recipe.
Things. I don't know what the kind
secrets,
of protein powder.
You haven't given the secret sauce.
Dates. He does dates
and cinnamon and nutmeg.
Okay, so he makes these shakes for me that I literally just can't even wait to have it. And so this morning when he made it for me, I was like, what in the world do you do with this? What is the secret ingredient that makes this taste so good? And he said, I make it with love. And, you know, you can be serving with a martyr attitude or you can be serving with a love attitude. And you can make this beautiful meal. But the Bible says that where there is anger and contention, that it'd be better to have vegetables. And so we just want to be people that when we serve, we're not going to just serve
is that
out
why
of.
You made vegetable dinner last
night? We're going
night?
Vegetarian.
Okay.
No, I did not make a vegetable dinner last night.
That was a total joke.
Yes,
I hope you all
was.
Got that.
I made meat last night. But yeah, so we have to have people that we understand. We're not going to serve because we have to. We're going to serve because we want to honor God and we want to be servants and we want to live lives of love. So it's not the most sexy thing, but I will say that a lot of times early on in our marriage, and John can affirm this, that John would kind of be like flexing in the mirror before we were going to bed at night, saying things like, did you ever imagine that you'd have a husband with a body this good at this age?
Oh
and
my
I'd
gosh.
Be like, where?
There's no secrets
where,
with you.
Where were
You're
these
crazy.
Where were these strong arms during homework with the kids? I was like, you need to flex those serving muscles in the kitchen if you want to show off those muscles in the bedroom. So anyway, guys, if you understand and really get it that wives think it's sexy when you serve, then you'll point out how you're serving if they're missing it, and you'll serve with love. And women, don't be martyrs. Don't act like everybody owes you something because you're serving, because you're going to do it because that's who you are. You're a loving woman who
Well, just
serves.
Remember this. Serving is its own pleasure. So if you derive pleasure off of serving, serving won't be a – I just had a paperclip thrown at me for those of you for just a visual here.
It always cracks me up.
She I don't know why you dislike that, but it is. Have you ever noticed
I don't dislike
that when you're
it.
Really serving somebody from your heart, it really creates pleasure, and it's the reward.
Honey,
serving is its own reward. So
Thank
anyway
you.
– Listen, guys, thanks for joining us today. Lisa and I sometimes don't see eye to eye on this subject, but listen, you can write
a review. I love you, and I love how you serve me with shakes and making
anyway,
bed and paying the bills.
You can do a review, you can subscribe, or you can share this podcast through iTunes. And also, we'd love to hear from you guys. If you have any topics or questions you'd like for Lisa and I to address, man, send it off, and Lisa and I can do that together. And who knows, it may create some more laughter and conversations for you to grow from. So anyway, we love you. And believe me, Lisa and I are always believing the Holy Spirit speaks through us to you. He knows exactly what you need. So we just believe you got what you needed today. And we appreciate you so much.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. And be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. Also, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any topics or questions that you'd like for us to address on future episodes, please send those our way at messengerinternational.org/podcast. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time.